Gentlemen, good evening, good evening. A most fascinating shaila, Rabbi Yisai. Who likes ethical questions? Like, you know, the really like ethical, moral ethical, what is called the shailas? They're very important shailas. So what would you do in the following scenario? You are in a place which is a dangerous place. What would you do if you're in a dangerous place? Jonathan, thank you again for yesterday.
No problem.
What would you do? This is an important question. What would you do if you are in a place of danger? You have the means to escape the danger, but by escaping, by avoiding the danger, you are letting down the people around you who cannot get out. So this was, of course, a very common question. In the war, this was very common. People who had the opportunity of escaping, they escaped. But they were able to buy themselves free, or because they had some sort of connections, and at times they were able to escape. But is it right or wrong to escape if you're letting down people around you?
Are they listening?
Because people feel, you know, how do you feel if one of you...
If people escaped from, like, a camp, then 20 people would be killed because one person escaped. You're not talking about that.
I'm not referring to that. You're not increasing the danger of others. No. So the question is a very important question. Well, for instance, I think we must have mentioned it in the past, the Kasnetransport, which is the way my grandfather escaped the war. So, you know, they were able to... Mr. Kastner, who was able to deal and literally negotiate with Eichmann Yimach Shemoy Vezichro himself, and he was able to negotiate and buy literally off some initially planned to have thousands. Eventually, it diminished to fewer and fewer, but he was able to free some few hundreds of people. They would buy seats into that train, which was called the Bergen Belsen Transport or the Kastner Transport. Because he literally paid for it. He literally paid. The Nazis, Eichmann at that stage was very, very, very needy. He was desperate for funds. And whoever paid a lot of money would be able to get free. And that was very, very controversial. And it still remains controversial to this very day. But what is the right thing? And some people were able to escape, either because they had the money or because they had very great protection. You know, Rebbes, Gedolim, Tzadikim, people would ensure they would be on the train. And the question is, what is the right thing to do in such an instance? Do you stay behind, or do you go? Interesting question. I don't know if I was thinking... Yeah. No, the person escaping. Are you doing the right thing or the wrong thing in escaping, but you getting out of danger, but you're letting down people around you? I was thinking if there's any if we can translate this into the COVID last year. Couldn't think of any scenario. Say somebody has got his private island, which in the depth of, when it was really the worst part of the lockdown, and say a person has an opportunity of going to a remote island where it's free of danger. I don't know. This is probably not a very realistic case, but is it better to stay behind with people who are in danger, or is it better to escape? So, an interesting question, very interesting question, which was very relevant in many times in the history of Klal Yisrael. Now, believe it or not, but the answer to this question is one Mishnah over here. And I wouldn't have noticed it, if not for the fact that a very Choshev Talmid Chacham pointed it out. That there's an answer to the question, black and white, Mishnah Buot addresses this question right over here. Out of all Mishnah Buot's...
I mean, in a way, you're forced yourself to die by staying
behind. Let's see what Mishnah Buot says a bit, because it's a really, really interesting point. Fascinating point. We're in the last Seif in Siman Tovkuf Ein Dalet, and what we learned very quickly last week, when Seif Hey was called a Poirish Minatzeb, whoever distanced himself from the tzibur, from the community, will not see the ultimate nechama, comfort of the community. Whoever is in agony with the tzibur, will merit, will see the comfort at the end. Now the halachic implication, which I mentioned last time, I'm not going to go over it. Now again, there is the halacha of marital relations during a time of tzara, and that the Mishnah Berurah addresses what's the halacha of somebody doesn't have children during a time period of danger, or tzar, or famine, or any crisis. What's the halacha in such an instance? So, but what, the Shulchan Aruch tells us you have to separate. You must separate yourself from the tzibur. You have to be. You cannot be different than the tzibur. What does that seem to indicate in terms of our earlier question? Stay behind. So although you can escape, but you have to be with the tzibur. The tzibur is in a challenging...
But who says
it's in a matzah of sakana? Oh, it is. Why not?
This is
right. So now, yeah, I hear what you're saying. The Mishnah Berurah Ma'aseh says as follows. Kol HaPoyesh Min HaTzibur. Davka, says the Mishnah Berurah, really interesting. Sivkotn Yud Gimel. That's four lines from the bottom. Poyesh Min HaTzibur. Davka Bedovah. This is only with regards to Shiyuchel Boil Pula Eloil. It is only if you can help them. Says the Mishnah Berurah. It is only a loch of... You're not allowed to escape the community, run away from the community. That's only if you're able to help. Hey, but if you can't help them, you can go away. So if you're able to save yourself, if you're able to save your skin, you can. If there's no point staying behind. But if you can help them, you mustn't. I would say that's the answer. He gives three examples to what does he mean helping by staying behind. Hein betfila, hein betainis, hein betmamon. Three examples. So what mean to help? If you can help, then stay behind. How do you help? The easiest is the last one he mentions, financially. If you've got financial means and you can help by staying behind, you can support others who are in the same situation, difficult situation. If you've got money, then stay behind because you've got the responsibility to help others around you. That's probably the easiest to understand. The other two are perhaps a little bit harder to understand. So tefillah and tainus also. If you're staying behind, your tefillah and your tainus is going to support and help others around you, then you should stay behind. But if you don't have tainus, you don't have tefillah, you don't have mamon, by all means you can go and save your skin. What's the obvious question to that?
How do you know if your tefillah is
going to
help?
Pardon? You don't know if your tefillah is helping unless you are...
You can daven
elsewhere as well. I don't know what the answer to that is. You have to daven over there. The tefillah is only accepted if you are physically together with the... You can daven elsewhere, also with great kavanah. You can fast also elsewhere. Yeah. So it must be the answer. I thought similar to you. Must be the answer is that no. By staying behind, your tefillah is more precious. There is such a concept of being with the others physically the same location. There is something about it. Pardon? Yeah, but not necessarily, because you could go out, you could escape to a place where there's an even larger minion. So it's not literally B'rev HaMatas Melech, but it's be with the Yidin with
what?
I don't think that's what it's talking about. Doesn't sound like it. So Rabbi Yisai, halach lemaisa, one should not escape a dangerous place if one can help. If one can help, one has responsibility to stay with the community. However, if you can't help the community in any way, not spiritually, not physically, not financially, your point is no, then you must leave because you have to save your skin. Very interesting Mishnah Berurah, very interesting Mishnah Berurah. And according to that, all the cases have to, yeah?
In relation to COVID, the situation we had, the practical application might be the doctors and the nurses who were working with the people.
That's an interesting one, yeah. So let's think this through. So you're saying
putting their lives at risk.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, very interesting. This is like hidden away. A hidden Mishnah Berurah, which has an important ethical and moral message and halacha. It really is halacha. which is hidden away in Mishnebu in a tucked away in Sefkot Yud Gimel. Rabbi says him in Tovkuf Ein Halaf. Tovkuf Ein Hey. Hokedine Tanish Mispalim Beretz Yisrael Lakshomin. Now this is specifically referring to the Alochas if there is no rain in Eretz Yisrael. Now England doesn't normally suffer from this problem, not in the winter and not in the summer either, of having lack of rain. But in Eretz Yisrael, the Shema already says, this is always a bad sign, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that if Yidden don't behave, the punishment, the direct punishment is that there will be no rain in Eretz Yisrael. It's a direct link. We don't know normally what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonus is. We don't normally know HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes. But one of the few instances, the Torah says explicitly, the effect and the cause and effect is, if you don't behave, there's not going to be rain in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you do about it? So the obvious answer is to do tshuva. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph. Say the Tainish Masana Beretz Yisrael Akshom Kachu. So if there's no rain, you got to fast in Eretz Yisrael. And this, in reality, is a whole Masechta, pretty much. Mishnayos, Tanas. Whole Alochas we know about Tanas, pretty much come from Masechta Tanas, Mishnayos Tanas. And the starting point there is if there's no rain in Eretz Yisrael. How? What do we fast? When do we fast? How do we fast? So that's how it works. So say the Tanish Mislam Etzol Akshom Kachu. That's if there's no rain in Etzol. That's how it works. Yigya Yudzan B'ma Cheshvan. So we're up to 17th Cheshvan. When is that? 17th of Cheshvan. Yeah, like. When is that? That's what we call generally. Like, pardon?
It's 10 days after he stopped down before.
Yeah, 10 days. Yeah. So that's. You know, that's a month before, just 5 weeks before Hanukkah. Yeah, we know it's the winter. It's like really, yeah, that's when the days start to get short. Okay, that's 17th of Cheshvan. There's no rain. Top of page 96. Rain hasn't even started yet. No drop of rain. Nothing has happened. So the first thing is that the Talmidei Chachamim, the ones who are known to be more, have more responsibility towards the community, they are going to fast 3 fast days. Sheni, Monday, Chamishi, Thursday, and the subsequent Monday.
So, can I just call up, is this when there's no rain?
No rain. Yeah, good question, because we'll address your point later, Be'ez Hashem. For Chol HaTalmidim Ruyin Lekach, whoever wants to consider himself a Talmid Chacham for this matter, he wants to fast, if he wants to, he may be qualified as that. V'din Tanias Elu K'din Tanias Yochid is qualified as a Tanias Yochid. What does that mean? He's qualified as a Tanias Yochid. Exactly. Yeah. So it is considered Tanias Yochid. At that stage, it's a private fast as opposed to a public fast. And who is fasting? The Talmid Chachamim. Siv Beis. Second, Ani Gel Shchedish Kislev. Okay, we're up to Shchedish Kislev already. For Lo Yoduk Shomim, and yet there is no rain. What happens at that stage? Beis Din Goiz Din Sholosh Tanis Al Tzibur. Oh, more serious already. It's not just sufficient that the Talmid Chachamim are going to fast. Rather, at this stage, we have to include and involve more people. That's already a communal fast. Sholosh Tanis Al Tzibur. 3 fast days on the community. Again, Sheni Chamishi, Sheni Monday, Thursday, Monday. Fecholom Nichnosim Ratekneses. And what happens is, Mishnah describes it, that all the Yidden go together, they gather in the shul, umispalalin, and they daven vizarkim, and they cry out, umischananin, and they besik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kederech shoisim b'chol taniyos, like is done normally on any fast days. So you will see, as Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Nehei tells us, mischanan kederech b'chol zakir v'yichal, b'shachis, u'minche shach taniyos, you're going to take the Sefer Torah out, and you're going to say v'yichal, you're going to lean. So it's already a pretty much a full-fledged Tanas Tzibu. Okay. So you cancel, of course, sure. When it starts raining, later on we're going to learn how much is defined as rain. But yeah, once it rains properly, we're going to stop fasting. Now, see if Gimel tells us even
within the Seder, 3 times.
Yeah, we'll address that. We'll get to that point. Very good question. See if Gimel tells us Ovu Elu. Right. So there's been the 3 private fasts of Talmid Chachamim. There's been the 3 public fasts of all the Eden, and still Ovu Elu Veloinanu. There is yet no rain. There's another 3 fasts on the community. Sheni Chamishi Sheni, again Monday, Thursday, Monday. Huve'elu mafsikim lechol nibodyoim. And this is going to be an additional stringency that we don't only start fasting by day in the morning, but we even start fasting. These fasts are serious enough that they start by night. Yeah, they start by in the evening. There is no work to be performed. But by night. So by night, one could work normally, but the whole day of this Monday, Thursday, Monday, is going to be a serious enough fast that there's no proper work to be performed. And it's a little bit like Tisha B'Av, like the 9 days, you don't wash. Kol haguf b'chamin, you don't wash your entire body with hot water. V'lefichach, and therefore, nerlin zamechetzos, the bathhouses have to be shut and locked up. No proper bathhouses to be open. No showers. Avolpon of yod v'raglav, but faces, hands, and feet b'chamin, these are allowed to be washed. Kol gufa b'tzon muta, similarly also the entire body with cold water is permitted. So on the whole, as a principle, the bathhouses, which probably are equivalent of the more enjoyable bathing experience. Remember, there was no bath and showers in the houses. So, if you go to a proper bathhouse, that's also on that level of fast. However, if you're just washing your feet, your hands, your face, that's all right. Similarly, your entire body with cold water is fine as well. Like on Tisha B'Av, you're not to smear yourself with any oil and creams, etc. Unless you're trying to remove the sweat and your dirt away from your body, that would be permitted. But otherwise, as a matter of enjoyment, that would be also in this level of Monday, Thursday, Monday fast. Marital relations are also as well. Similarly, also wearing leather shoes are also. Here again, we gather in shuls. Here again, they gather in shuls, and they say vaychal, they lain, etc. Kibushatanis, I like on a regular fast. Okay, so far, what was the first? We have three private fasts at Lechomim. Then we have public, but light, should we call it? Public light, yeah? And then we have public serious, which includes also the lochas that we normally associate with the 9 days. Hovu elu, if rain still hasn't come. So, at that stage, what happens then? Velonanu, still no rain. Basin goes in oit sheva tanyuz ala tzibu. An additional 7 fasts on the community, on the tzibu. Sheni chamishi sheni, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Chamishi sheni, Thursday, Monday. Chamishi sheni, and again, Thursday, Monday. V'kol ma'asha also b'shloshe shelifnei elu, also av be'elu, and whatever we described in the earlier halacha, that is also, i.e., no washing, no oil, no all those halachas that we normally associate with the 9 days. That's going to be also in those 7 fasts. Also, the Esayin Elu, but there's an additional level of stringency on those 7 fasts. What is it? Shemasrin b'hem b'shoifa. You blow the shoifa. Ala brochos shemosifim b'hem. You're going to blow the shoifa. Have you ever experienced blowing the shoifa for Tanas? They do it in Etzol, they've done it. Yeah? So, Shemasrin Bohem Shofar, Alaboch Shemasif, Shemasrin Bohem Shofar, Alaboch Shemasif, Umispanim Bechoy Va'ir, and here you take out the Sefer Torah, you go to the street, you go to the market, you go out on the street, you don't stay in Shul to Daven. No! You get out of, you go speak on the street. Humeridin Zoken, you take out an old Talmid Chacham, a great Talmid Chacham, the eldest perhaps of the community, and he's going to say to Chacham, he's going to tell the Yidden what they've done wrong, and he's going to give a whole Musa Shmuz to the Yidden. There's no rain. It's no rain. It's critical. At that stage, it really is critical. The additional brachas in the Shemana Esa, which is explicitly, the Torah says what the tefillah looks like. So the additional brachas in the Shemana Esed, b'tefillah shachis, b'tefillah smincha, both by shachis and mincha, v'noilin es achaniyos, and you're going to close the shops. Shops to be closed. No business. But on Monday, in the evening, you're allowed to open it a little bit. People still need to do some shopping, so you're allowed to open it a little bit unofficially. So you're allowed to open what's necessary in the evening, kind of, like whatever. Bit like COVID, yeah, I see. Because the people who want to purchase something, here you need to buy something for supper, you're allowed to buy for supper, but don't open like the, you know, the shop's grand and nobody, no. Shops are closed. When it, pardon? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, I do know. Look, and on Thursday they have to be open altogether. The food-related shops. Yeah, correct, absolutely. Sunday is fine and Tuesday is fine too. Right. I suppose, yeah, but that's with regards to food. Thursday had to be open because of COVID Shabbos. If a shop has got two openings, then you open one, you shut the other one. Again, the whole idea is not to make it too public, don't make a whole shopping atmosphere, just open what you need to open in order for people to buy some basic food. It's the Belefonov. If a shop has got a front kind of, what's that? Front. If it's like a front, it's like you can keep some things in the front, so you keep it. The point being that you're allowed to keep the, if there's something placed in the front which is permanently there, you can keep the shop open as well because it's not so evident that your shop is open. In other words, if it's hidden and private, then you can keep it more, you can be more relaxed about opening it because it's not so obvious that your shop is open. Now, that's the levels of the fasts. Now, what about Sifei goes on to Ubris Umenikos Mis Anois? Pregnant and nursing women fasts, but not on the first three fasts, which are more classified and categorized as more lighter fasts, and also not on the seven last ones. Because if you're going to ask all the nursing and expecting mothers to fast seven fasts in a go, guess what's going to happen? So it's not a great idea. But they should only eat as much as necessary for a healthy pregnancy. So that's an interesting halacha as well. They may eat, the pregnant and nursing women may eat in the fasts, but only as much as necessary. They should not start and go parting away. For Asulaim Lachmel is Anos, and they may not be stringent and fast further than that. Now, Rabbi Yisai, the next halacha, which is the final halacha for this evening, I do not understand. It's fascinating, hashkafically, from a hashkafic point of view, I don't understand that. It's something to think about. It's the last halacha for tonight. Once you've done all the 13 fasts, why 13? How does it end up being 13? 3 plus 3, 7, 3. Once there's been all these 13 fasts, if they were not answered, ain goes in out. There's no more point in fasting. That's if you're davening for rain. Because after all these weeks have passed, the time of rain has passed already. There's no point anymore in fasting at that stage. But if there's another reason why Fadina fasting, if there's another crisis, another tragedy, then you could carry on and on and on and on. Chas v'sholem. But he says for the purpose of rain after those 13 fasts, there is no point anymore in fasting. Because it's the summer already. You've hit the summertime already. Now, I'm not saying I understand that because this is a famine, it's a serious matzah. And they can at times, why can you not fast anymore at that stage? He says, don't fast anymore. That's it. No point fasting. That's it. You've tried the Tamid Chomim fast after 13 weeks. No more. Still no rain. Chas v'sholem. No point continuing. No point. That's what he says. Now, as opposed to if the Eden are fasting for other crises, for other tragedies, for other punishments that have come on to Klal Yisrael, Chas v'sholem, if that's the case, you could carry on. Once you carry on fasting until the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings Yeshua. Okay.
If they started fasting Kislev, and had 13 fasts Monday, Thursday, presumably we're not talking about consecutive. Because that would only be 7 weeks or so, which is certainly not over. In the language language, it's certainly not over by that time.
Okay, no, I want to just summarize and finish. Okay, summarize because we're... So, Rabbi said we learned this evening, we started off with an interesting Mishnah Berurah with regards to leaving a dangerous place. If one is helping, one should stay. If one is not helping, one should go away. Interesting that defined as helping is Momon, Tefillah, and Tanis. Interesting. With regards to the fasting, if there is no rain, the first three are private for the Talmid Chachamim. Then comes the three basic ones for the Tzibur, Sheni, Chamishi, Sheni. Then come the three more serious ones, the more heavier ones. Then comes the seven ones. The difference between the three and the seven is as to whether there is the halachas which we associate with the 9 days. There is also at that stage the heavier stage will also include tkiyas shofar and additional tefillas as well as davening in the rechov ha'ir. We said that pregnant and expecting and nursing mother should not fast unless it's they should not fast, but only for kiyum avlad. Finally, we learned that after those 13, one should not fast anymore. Good evening, Abba Yisrael.